We will call the Board of Supervisors meeting for September 17, 2025 to order at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall on my left. Attendance by observation: Adams, Claybaugh, Haxby, Tiemann, Lytle, Dorn, and Juergens. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held September 3rd, 2025. Approve all claims through September 17th, 2025 in the amount of $95,000. I think we're going to move a comma there. Item 3, $953,669.41.
Yes, that would be more appropriate. Sorry.
Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of August 2025. And ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Move that we approve the consent agenda.
Yeah,
we
are. Second.
Motion by Claybaugh, second by Adams, to approve the consent agenda as presented. Any items you'd like to pull off? If not, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda. Before we read that, I'm just going to touch on what we talked about in equalization. Just real briefly, actually I won't. I'll wait till we go through committee reports here and talk about the pink postcard. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 2509-000181 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $70.32. This would bring the total amount of claims paid through September 17, 2025 to $953,739.73.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Claybaugh. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor with Mr. Juergens abstaining. Comments from the public or requests for future agenda items? Welcome to the public that's here. I've struggled with our current political discussions federally to make a statement here or not. I don't think we need to touch on anyone personally necessarily, but we also need to make sure that we're all very aware people are upset about things on both sides. Instead of engaging in open debate with respect to both sides and a mutual respect from both sides, people are taking up violence, not just now, but in the past also. Regardless of which side of the spectrum you're on, there's nothing more un-American than stifling something through violence. If you have a point, and we've maintained this in this boardroom every time I've ever walked in, whether it's the popular point or not, you'll be heard. You'll be allowed to openly debate it. You'll be able to express your ideas without fear of violence to yourself or any retribution. I think it's really important that we all get back to that, not just in this room, but around the country. We aren't going to agree. Stop throwing a fit. Engage in debate. Get your point out there. Express yourself however you want to. But let's get away from the violence. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items on anything. Well, like I say, we still welcome you. It's nice to see faces out there. Committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights, Mr. Dorn.
Dave's here.
Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. We will have snow removal bids at 9:15 this morning. I did get some bids for tree removal in the courthouse yard. There's five trees that have aged out. Pin Oak, a hackberry, a couple of hackberries across on 7th Street. I'd like to get those removed. I asked four different people for bids. I did get one for $6,900, so I'd like to move forward with that. Take those trees down and get some new ones started. The lighting project, the grant to change out all the LED lights is going pretty well. They just had small crews come in, and it hasn't been too disruptive. These are the ones I was concerned about when they're doing these panels. They've been going into all the offices, and it actually goes really quick, so there wasn't much disruption in any office. So they have all these done in the courthouse, sheriff's, evidence, and then they did a partial in extension office. So that part is all done. So now they'll come back with the can lights, and then there's some other surface mount lights that they have to do yet also. The ramp project, we're getting close to that. Now I talked to Greg Dennis. He came down and took another look. And I talked to Todd Heido. They did ask on the ramp. I'm going to try and take out anything I can that's up above the ceiling, so when they do come, they got a clean slate to see what all, because the first thing they have to do is shore that up. So, and I would like the public to know it's going to be around the 1st of October. The handicap ramp will be closed during that time, so we'll probably open up this side door with a short ramp, and that is usable, but if somebody does need help getting into the building, we'll be glad to help them in any way we can. We did that a lot during the renovation back in 2010 also. So, and then we did talk somewhat on storage solutions. We've always had a storage issue here ever since I've been here, so we're going to try and come up with some solutions on how to downsize some of the storage that's in the building and maybe move it off-site. Then lastly, I did get an email. Don forwarded to me. There'll be a gentleman coming down that's hired by NIRMA to do, I think it's a property evaluation on the county building. So I'll be hanging around with him this afternoon and maybe tomorrow. And he just needs access to buildings. And I don't know, mainly he said if it's any new construction that's not on an existing building. We don't have, there's not any changes, but he's going to be looking at the roof and things like that also.
I will say, along with the NIRMA inspection, they are going through and trying to do a reassessment also for counties, AAAs, everyone. There are a lot of underinsured structures throughout the state, and it doesn't matter, you pay less until you have a problem, and then when you're underinsured, that's when everybody's unpleasantly surprised. So this is good for NIRMA and the member. Ms. Axby, do you want to touch on storage solutions or potential requirements, or do you want to take that at another time?
I did some research after we were given the information that we were given with the statute and the guidelines, because the big question that we had, that in that statute with the following guidelines was that we had to provide adequate storage. So what is the definition of adequate? And so I did some reading, and I found this Schedule 18 for county courts, which lists the different types of records that a county court would have, and then it'll dictate in there what the way it can be retained or disposed of. So how long each type of record has to be kept for until it can be disposed. Can it be stored electronically? Does it have to, do you have to keep the original? And so from what I found through here, basically there are a few probate records that would need to be kept in original form, for its entirety. Some of those can actually be transferred to the state archives, but it appears like adequate to me would be, adequate storage would be what has to be retained in its original form. Past that, could you put it on a flash drive in a box? Because that would save a lot of, weight, space. I would hate to see us spending extra dollars to provide more storage when
sure.
There's an outlet where we can make it a lot easier.
They are digitizing some now, though.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, when we move it, instead of just moving everything, I think it'd be the perfect opportunity to work through it,
mm-hmm.
and only keep those records that require that original be kept in storage.
Yeah, they were digitizing, but they really didn't want to digitize the rest of it for some reason. I wasn't quite following.
I believe, and I hate to say this because I don't know for sure, but I think the state did allow at a certain point to start just digitalizing that they didn't have to.
It is, yeah. Okay. And they're all in here, most every one of them. Even some probate can be digitized, so it's worth going through. And I mean, I don't think we need two garage stalls full of files if we can.
Exactly, yeah.
But we will meet whatever requirements we need to, one way or another. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Dorn? Equalization, we had a very brief meeting. They're continuing to reevaluate rural gauge as well as moving into Beatrice. Pink cards went out. Pink cards, of course, were for the higher taxation bodies. Anyone over, was it over 3%? 2.5%? Pink cards? Oh, well,
the calculation that they use.
Through a formula, whoever were the higher taxing bodies had to go out on a pink card. In Gage County, that would have been Crete Public Schools. Even though that's not in Gage, the school district dips. City of Beatrice and Wymore Public Schools, I believe, Wymore Southern. I had some phone calls as they started coming out in Beatrice. And I told people to look at the cards, but at the card on the top of the card it says Gage County, and it's like fantastic. I explained that this is not Gage County. Look down to taxing subdivision, I believe, towards the left. It'll give you a list. Who is the taxing body? Where is it going? And those will be different for everyone. Those of us that live around Beatrice but we're outside of city limits will not receive one for the city of Beatrice, of course. Those of you in town will receive one, probably just for Beatrice, City of Beatrice. Where does the funding for those cards come from?
They have to share in the cost. Everything else is owned by the county.
So the county pays to send those cards out as an additional expense for us. The state prints them, even if we're not on those. But those on the card do share some in the cost. The remainder falls on the people of the county, even though we're trying to keep our budgets down. But if anyone received a card, please look at where it's coming from, not just the top of the card. The top of the card just means that you're within the great borders of Gage County. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket item. Applied Connective Technologies, IT Services Data Processing, $12,851.63. Beatrice Utility Probation Rent, Quarterly EMS Services, $48,366.50. Correctional Risk Services, Inmate Medical, $17,534.77. Gage County Transfer from General to a 911 Emergency Management, $100,000. MIPS Incorporated Property Protest Referees, $57,281.70. Region 5 Systems Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services, $12,518.28. Summit Food Services, Jail Meal Services, $12,928.92. Washington County Sheriff, Housing Inmates, $18,795. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $98,221.19. Catherine Sons, Asphalt, $11,523.14. Sapp Brothers Petroleum, Fuel Oil Filters, $27,136.34. Last but not least, City Beatrice, Quarterly 911 Services, dispatch, utilities, etc. $59,809.66.
Ms. Haxby, do you want to go over BEAD?
Yeah.
At this point,
I just wanted to give you guys an update. When we did our broadband project, we obviously didn't get Gage County finished, and so I worked really hard trying to get the state funding increased in that first round of challenges. We challenged the entire state. We increased the allocation from $222 million to $405 million, thinking that that would give us the opportunity to help finish the rest of the county with fiber infrastructure. The final proposal came out, and we don't have a single piece of fiber in Gage County. And it's bad across the state, but I did a write-up. I just want to read this to you guys to kind of explain where we're at in the process and how bad it is across the entire state. So I wrote this. It's, if there were a trophy for squandering opportunity, Nebraska would already have it on the shelf. On September 3, the Nebraska Broadband Office, NBO, released its draft final proposal for how to spend $405 million in federal broadband funds. Advocates for rural broadband like myself fought hard for that money, challenging providers, overstated coverage, and identifying tens of thousands of missing locations. The BEAD program promised to fix rural broadband in Nebraska once and for all. Instead, NBO fumbled. Out of $405 million, the plan spends barely $43 million and connects fewer than 1,300 locations to fiber broadband. More than $350 million is left untouched, destined to go back to D.C. without benefiting our state. That's not planning, it's malpractice. Fiber is permanent infrastructure. It is reliable, weatherproof, and built to last for decades. It is the backbone of education, healthcare, precision agriculture, artificial intelligence, manufacturing, and remote work. NBO's alternative, fixed wireless and satellite. They have their place, and they aren't inherently bad solutions for rural connectivity. But their performance, reliability, and future scalability pale in comparison to fiber. Relegating over 10,000 rural homes and businesses to second-class broadband is a disservice to every Nebraskan. This is a patch job, not progress. Betting Nebraska's future on them is like renting a tent in a tornado alley and calling it a house. It's not infrastructure, it's a liability. NBO claims Nebraska's proposal is connecting homes, businesses, and community anchor institutions. That's optimistic, but it's only half true. More than 700 schools, libraries, fire departments, and health centers were identified as eligible BEAD community anchor institutions funding. Nebraska Broadband Office chose to only connect 54. We aren't connecting people, we're abandoning them. NBO's biggest misstep was their handling of eligible location eligibility. Nebraska started with nearly 30,000 eligible locations, and then NBO let unlicensed wireless providers claim coverage without proof. No maps, no evidence, just trust us. Overnight, 7,500 locations were suddenly reclassified as served. Add in the federal map changes, and Nebraska lost 52% of its list. Most states didn't cut any. I want to add here that Gage County lost 51% of our locations with that. Then there are satellites. NBO is spending $2.3 million on Amazon's Project Kuiper, a service with zero customers and a handful of test satellites in orbit. The proposal is trusting Jeff Bezos' hobby project to serve 1,500 Nebraskans. SpaceX's Starlink, which already covers Nebraska, gets another $2.5 million to serve places it already serves. This internet is meant to power a campsite, not an economy. Transparency is non-existent. Since September 3, NBO has revised its project list three times, each time cutting funding for schools, libraries, with neither explanation nor notice, just moving the numbers around while the public and the providers are left in the dark. Meanwhile, our neighbors are lapping us, Iowa and Kansas, with the same flat and treeless terrain Nebraska used as an excuse, each connected 50% of their locations to fiber. Wyoming and Montana, with far tougher topography, managed 2 to 3 times Nebraska's fiber commitment. North Dakota, 93% fiber. Nebraska, dead last. We are an outlier in the worst way. When I also note here that I have a chart with all of the states that have put in their proposals so far, we see a lot of 70, 80, 90% fiber. We are 9% dead last. Yes, the rules changed, and yes, it made it harder, but their job is not to roll over when Washington makes things difficult. Their job is to fight for Nebraska, and instead they folded. Excuses makes politics easier, but that does not bring lasting infrastructure to our farm schools, businesses, and families. If other states can push back and still commit to fiber, Nebraska could too, if our leaders actually cared enough to fight for it. Our state's chance at full connectivity is fading way before our eyes. Nebraska is set to leave more than $350 million on the table and lock rural communities into second-rate service for decades to come. Nebraska didn't fight for $405 million to watch it evaporate. Fiber is the gold standard, and we deserve leaders with the backbone to deliver it. Anything less is a betrayal of every family, farmer, business, and student left behind on the wrong side of the digital divide. So Gage County, like I said, didn't get a single thing of fiber. We're looking at licensed fixed wireless and Amazon's project. So very disappointed in how that turned out, because I was hoping to get, I worked really hard to try to make sure that that got covered the rest of the county. And this is what they stuck us with.
Anything else for finance and insurance? If not, we really don't have anything for human resource, employee relations, law enforcement, emergency management. Mr. Lytle.
Gus, you got anything this morning? Lisa?
Mine will come up in the hearing.
Okay. Well, looks like we're going to go easy.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens. No comment?
There wasn't much.
You've heard.
The dirt crew worked on truck in the shop, log jams, regraded roads. The asphalt crew has been patching, has placed about 100 tons of asphalt. Margaret Hayes spoke to board members why she attends our meetings and wants to be here. While we're in Road and Bridge, Mark, do you want to come up and give us the summary of the bids before I say what I think?
This is concerning the Bridge Match program that was yesterday at Saline County. Saline County and Gage County went together.
Round 7 Bridge Match that we teamed up with Saline County with for two structures here in Gage County, just on the west side of Beatrice. The first one is on Southwest 61st, about a half mile south of Scott Street. The next one is on Southwest 75th, about a half mile north of Scott Street. They are both truss bridges, fracture critical bridges, that we'll be removing with concrete box culverts. So they opened the bids. They had 5 bids yesterday in Saline County. The highest bid being just under 1.1 for the 4 structures, the lowest bid being just under 860,000 for 4 structures. The Saline has had it for review for 2 weeks, but at the moment, Vogue is the low bid for these structures.
I would like to publicly, either if I have to write a letter of their performance here in Gage County, or their lack thereof.
So I expressed my concern to Bruce and their engineer of the issues that we had on our projects. I extremely expressed our issues that we had. They took note of it. Bruce was going to call Jody with the NDOT and talk to her. Her response to Bruce was, Bruce asked if they could not go with the low bid. Jody stated that the only reasons they could not go with a low bid would be material issues or performance on the structures, as for the structure itself. It collapsed. It wasn't done per specs, so on and so forth. But she strongly suggested going with state bid because this is reimbursement from the state funds.
Then who determines, when you do that, who determines the deadline, and then who determines the liquidated damages fees?
So right now, the specs for this project are written through Speech Lewis. There is a completion date of November 1st of 2026. Liquidated damages are $1,500 per structure.
Per day.
Per day.
Mark, can I ask, who is the person that said that you can't look at responsible bidding as a factor?
Jody was Bruce Philippi with Saline County had called up Jody Gibson with NDOT. Okay. But since they are the lead on this.
No, I'm not questioning that. The state law is lowest responsible bidder.
Correct.
That's a competitive bidding statute. It runs from villages to Omaha. And I think what you folks have experienced on our bridges certainly goes to responsible.
Correct. And like I said, I expressed those. The one other concern I had was their start date was June of 26. And it was pushing right at that November 1st. So if they're delayed on any project starting now, I can foresee that.
Well, given their history, there's going to be a lot of delays.
Correct. So that is one concern I do have.
I would highly recommend that we do not choose that one if we go forward. I'm pretty sure there is a very large base of our constituency that would also agree.
Per the engineer estimates, the bids did come in well under the engineer estimates, so we are saving money with that on the backside. So just my two cents.
Sometimes it's not worth it.
So, concrete break for the repair patch is at $33.25. We're just under. If Vogue wants to open it, I left it to Manili Wagner and Vogue to make that decision.
I would say
$3,500 is where we're at. Otherwise, I suggested being on Friday to break another cylinder. So,
do you take enough cylinders?
Yeah, they took enough cylinders.
Mark, yes, sir. As far as the structures and the performance, other than being late, have the structures been quality?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Once everything was excavated, they came in, they did their job. It was the follow-through with subcontractors and scheduling that they fell behind on, mm-hmm. from what I can see. But they came in, they knocked out, they poured. Everything was right on track. I mean, within 2 weeks, they could have a base poured and walls poured in a deck. So,
what's our liquidated damages tally right now?
We're well above 130, based off without calculating everything exactly. I'm just figuring five structures at so and so a day. They're finishing one today. They're going to seat it, and that should be, minus the repair panel, we should be completed.
Who would be in charge of granting extensions?
It would be the state, because their deadline, well, it'd be Bruce would be the one that would have to grant the extension, because he's the lead on it.
I was going to say, given past performance, we might get this one for free.
Good. I don't know how we'd get that reimbursed from the state, though.
You don't know how what?
I don't know how we'd get that reimbursed, but if it's still free for us, why do we need a reimburse?
Understand your concerns.
I know, because that was in my district there, I have heard it over and over again of their lack of...
Well, you're not the only one.
Mark?
Yes, sir.
I noticed this was bid through Vogue-scapes on our bridges prior. This is bid as Vogue Enterprises.
Vogue, yes.
Why the different names for the same company?
I don't know.
Could you check on that, though? I was wondering the same thing. Are they...
Well, Vogue is, I think, the Vogue-scapes is just an offshoot of what Vogue was. I think Vogue-scapes is their landscaping business that they've had, but I don't know why they went to Vogue for Vogue-scapes on this bid. So
maybe they're putting them all under one umbrella now. Any other questions for Mr. Kunkey? Additional comment or question for Road and Bridge?
Thanks, Terry.
You're welcome.
If not, we will adjourn. I guess not adjourn, but we're done with committee reports. We have a timed event at 9:15. Closing, accepting, rejecting, or awarding snow bids. If anyone has a snow bid, I would ask that you please bring it up or bring it over to the clerk's office. There are also sign-up sheets on the table to my right for a special use permit for the commercial kennel. And which would be in Claytonia Township. And there's also a sign-up sheet for the public hearing for the Board of Trustees for the Hospital Authority. To my right as well, feel free to sign up if you'd like to speak in support or opposition. With that, I'd ask one last time, are there any snow bids in the audience? If not, I'd ask for a motion to close snow removal bids at 9:15 a.m.
You didn't say bids, right?
Bids, I think. Snow removal bids. Bid.
It's giving you a hard time.
Motion by Lytle to close at 9:15.
Second.
Second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor.
Okay, we got one.
Better than none.
Yep. Yeah, we'd hate to have Roger out there doing it.
That would be talking to
Mr. Jones would hate that. He's
delay
out there
damages
anyway.
Too. Lots of them.
There's no more over in the office. Okay. All right, we got one from Beatrice Lawn Care. Do we want to just hand it to Dave to look at, or are we accepting it? And how do we want to proceed?
Probably should have Dave review it yet. Would you read the prices into the microphone just for the record here? And I will say, just for transparency, Beatrice Lawn Care was formerly the company I had. That's not me anymore. So, Mr. Dorn, take it easy on me.
So we have a lump sum dollar for less than 6 inches, $725. Lump sum dollar proposal for more than 6 inches of snowfall, $1,150. Spreading ice melt and gravel in parking lot areas if needed, $400 a ton. Sidewalks, lump sum for less than 6 inches, $700. Lump sum dollar proposal for more than 6 inches, $1,100.
Careful.
And by looking at this, there's a couple of increases by a little bit. The sidewalks, we usually try to do those ourselves if we can. In the driveway areas, the first one under less than 6 inches went up $25. The more than 6 inches went up $150. Sand in the parking lots went up $50 from the last proposal we had. So I would like to add, we have used Beatrice Lawn Care for quite a few years, and they do have the equipment and the manpower. They've always been able to do the job.
We want to accept it. And just go ahead and accept an award.
If you're okay with that, Dave.
I am.
Okay. I move we accept and award the snow removal bid from Beatrice Lawn Care.
Second.
Motion by Lytle to accept and award the bid to Beatrice Lawn Care is presented. Second by Juergens. Any discussion?
I have nothing Mr. Claybaugh. Against Beatrice Lawn Care, but I prefer to have more than one bid. But since we've already announced how much it is, there's nothing to do about it. But I wish we could get more bids to make it more competitive. And I'm sure that the price is fair. But
we've had more in the past. How many people did you talk to this time?
This time, actually, it was just advertised. I did not let... 2 years ago and last year, I did check with Schoen snow removal, and Caleb, I talked to him before. I think snow removal is just, since we haven't had much snow anymore, it's kind of a business where people, I don't know if they're too kind of leery of even having the equipment to keep doing it sometimes.
I mean, snow's not like welding, but it still makes money.
But this year it was advertised, but I did not go out and ask anybody.
And I think we might have to do that, is ask them, because they must not be seeing it in the normal ways. So
I did mention to a couple people that were bidding or that are in snow, just thinking that people would be interested. It's right downtown, easy to get to. I know with the, like I say, I don't do this anymore, but with the calls we would get, people were having a harder and harder time finding someone. So might be a good market to get into.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. Did we vote on that?
Mm-mm.
We better vote on that. Motion by Lytle, second by Jurgens, to accept and award the bid to Beatrice Lawn Care for the 25-26 snow season. If there's no other comments, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. We have another timed event at 9:30. Ms. Krackemeyer, are you under a 10-minute presentation? Well, I would invite Rachel Krackemeyer, Executive Director for Engage, up to the microphone. Please give your name and position for the record. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rachel Krackemeyer, Executive Director of Engage. I have a couple handouts for you guys.
Wow.
You guys all look like you need lots of paper.
Thank you.
Go talk.
Okay, well, give me one of these. I don't have it memorized. All right. Okay. Good morning. Okay, I'm going to move this thing down so you guys can all hear me. So today I'm presenting what is the Q4 report for fiscal year 24-25. So this is referencing months April, May, and June in 2025. So some of the highlights of what we have had going on and some of the information that you are having passed around in front of you as we speak is the target industry analysis that was completed by NPPD, so Nebraska Public Power District, in partnership with Norris Public Power District. They have an economist team that can go through and analyze data across various industries and see where projections are going and what might be target industries for business recruitment efforts and what we're lacking in our ecosystem here in Beatrice and Engage County in general. So, and I don't have a copy of it in front of me, but what I can say, and I'm sure Eric will chime in on his perspective from his seat on the Engage board, is there really isn't a surprise in the target industries that did show up in this. But one thing I want to make note of is in the supply chain industry section on this, you'll see a lot of things that we feel every day. So businesses, when I'm talking to them and asking them, what are your pain points? What are the weak spots? What can we do to help bring in additional businesses or services, resources that might help you continue to grow and thrive right here in Gage County? You'll see things like legal assistance, bookkeeping services, accounting services. We all know that it's hard to find a CPA. Everyone's retiring, and no one wants to go into that industry anymore. I did have a conversation with a large accounting firm out of Omaha, because that even impacts Engage and some of the things that we're doing on grant reporting and those types of things, is some grants, state grants, even require an audit in order to continue to apply for funding, and you were struggling to find people to do audits. I had a conversation with a CPA, an auditing firm out of Omaha, and they are also bridging out of the auditing space. And part of that conversation indicated that our universities, of the number of people graduating from the accounting program ready to take the CPA exam, was less than 10 individuals that were eligible to even be able to do that. So very scary out there, so it's something that we're working to do because it's a needed service in our community and our county. So things like that are coming to light, and those are great businesses to backfill into our downtown vacant properties here in Beatrice or in smaller communities throughout the county. Of that note, we're still engaged currently. Our target industries are warehouse distribution, food processing, advanced manufacturing, and data centers. Data centers obviously are a huge power pull, and we are supply and demand issues. Everyone knows that our power partners are working diligently to assess generation opportunities and how we can ensure that we have power to power our existing businesses as well as our future businesses and our residents. With that, I anticipate we will pull data centers out of that. We actually have two that are more of the Bitcoin crypto mining type of companies based in the Beatrice Gage County Industrial Park. The other thing around the target industry analysis is that there's industries that we are actively working to recruit that aren't even big enough to show up in these types of analysis. And you've heard me reference the bioeconomy and biomanufacturing tied around carbon capture and sequestration and creating renewable fuels and those types of things, bioplastics, which end up in a lot of common products that are used, including makeup, leggings. There's a plastic resin in Lululemon leggings. You know, those are a highly popular product. So we're working to create relationships and build connections with companies worldwide in that bioeconomy space. So that is something that we are targeting, but doesn't show up in that industry analysis that you have in front of you today. Aside from that, we are still actively working on several recruitment projects, expansion projects in the area, and as well as continually assessing where our businesses are at, what are their needs, how can we support them. We have a few that have indicated succession planning is on the radar now, which is something that we work with because our goal is to retain jobs and create workforce development pathways for students to directly be able to have opportunities or career pathways into the available positions that we have in Gage County today. Let's see, what else do we have here? Community and housing development, you've noticed we've been working really heavily in that realm. We've got lots of housing developments happening throughout Beatrice, but as well as pockets of other development throughout the counties. We're actively working with Cortland on some projects, on a couple different projects in Wymore, also utilizing our development district with Southeast Nebraska Development District to have some duplexes and those types of things built on some infilled lots and communities. So this is a public service announcement to anybody out there who has land that they're not quite sure what to do with that would be willing to partner with us to help build more housing. That is definitely something to reach out to us and let us know that, and we will work with you to do that. The other exciting thing, we also were just recently recertified. The city of Beatrice was recertified as an economic development certified community. That is a 5-year designation, and it is an extensive application process or renewal process. I think by the time I got that packet of information put together, it was over 700 pages long. So nothing like writing a PhD dissertation to gain that designation again for another 5 years. What that does is it shows the rest of the world that we are prepared for new business and industry to come into our community, and we have strategic initiatives and incentives wrapped around supporting business and industry so that they can be successful in our community and our area.
Ms. Krackmeyer, yeah. With that, I'm going to have you pause. so that we can go into a public hearing. But I do want you to stick around, so if there are any questions, you can continue your presentation, and then that way the board can riddle you with questions on what's going on. But there is a sign-up sheet on the table to my right for support or opposition on the special use permit 2025-1 for the operation of a commercial kennel in Claytonia Township. I'd ask for a motion to go into public hearing for said special use permit at 9:30 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Ms. Wiggin, do you want to run through the special use permit for the proposed kennel and training facility?
Thank you. You all should have got a full report. This application is coming from Elena Keckley. She is here in the audience today to answer any questions and also to share her own vision of what she has in mind. The commission is recommending approval 7-0. With this, we sent out, we notified 67 partial owners, including the Lancaster County, because of the location that she lives. Lancaster County Planning and Zoning was also notified, along with Celine and the Celine commissioners and the clerk there in Planning and Zoning. So it's a great project. I'm excited for her to share that with you. One thing, we did have 3 calls that came into our office of just people around in that area that were interested in the land use being proposed. Elena was very open to them calling her, and they did, and she can share with that. But no one spoke in opposition of this particular project. So the commission does find that the location met all the 7 guidelines. So I'll let her share with you the project, and if you have more questions, you can let me know. So.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you please give your name and address for the record?
Yes. Hi, I'm Elena Keckley, and my address is 12154 West Ash Road in Claytonia, Nebraska, 68328.
Tell us about your project.
Hello. Okay, so I'm really excited. I have been working diligently on getting things together for a commercial kennel, hosting up to 12 dogs. It's a really small facility. The goals and intentions is for a training and boarding facility, help the community out, but also do more work in the training realm of things, but then also be able to host anybody around the community into more of like a luxury type cabin for their animals. And everything's fenced in. So the fence comes in this week. Things like that are going on around the residents. So it'll have dividing fences for safety, a play yard, things like that. All with the appropriate spacing and stuff that I've worked through the NDA and the Gage County inspections to ensure that I am meeting everything and exceeding that. So we've got proper drainage. We have very minimal use of water going on. I'm not doing like a sprinkler system or anything crazy that would take up a lot of water. That was one of the concerns from a local individual, but it's just going to be their daily use of water. So anything as far as like just what they need to drink and maybe an occasional bath, something like that. So I don't have any intentions of using anything crazy. Everything will be tracked with a FI collar. So any animal that I take in, any dog that I take in, will have a FI collar, which is a GPS collar for the dog that allows me to track the dog at all times. So if for whatever reason it gets out of the building or the fencing that shouldn't happen, but if it were to, I can track it immediately, find the dog, and then go from there. I do carry full insurance through Insurers of the Carolinas for up to $1 million. It covers liabilities, but anything like that. So if for whatever reason anyone was ever injured, another dog was injured, I have everything covered through that. Other than that, just looking to pour back into the community. So any funds that are made off of the kennel after bills are paid, I want to turn around and host events out in the community, utilizing some of the trained animals that I have at the facility, depending on, you know, owners and things like that as well. But The purpose behind this is I was a police officer for 9.5 years for the city of Lincoln. I've been in the military for 15 years, and I just want to be more on the proactive end of the community. So I am just finding my purpose and what that looks like, and I have a niche for dog training. So you pair the two together, and now I'm proposing a dog kennel.
Questions from the board?
You had a very comprehensive plan. It was very good.
Thank you.
Just looking through the rest of I heard your information from planning and zoning, but it's cool to see your presentation that you have with it.
Thank you.
Now we'd like to thank you for your investment in the county and wish you the best of luck. Sounds like a fantastic project.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Lisa, is there anyone that signed up on the public hearing sheet? Oh, I have it up here. All right, and it is just Ms. Keckley. Is anyone in the audience that would like to speak? If not, anything else from the board? It's always nice to see people investing in the county and hopefully running something successful there. Nice addition. If there's no one that would like to speak at public hearing, I would ask for a motion to come out of public hearing at 9:36.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn to come out at 9:36. This will be on our next agenda in 2 weeks to approve this special use permit, approve or disapprove. If there's nothing else, please vote. 7 in favor. We're out of public hearing. Let's see here. Got 9 more minutes. Ms. Krackemeyer, let's continue. Thank you for your patience.
I'm not going to talk for 9 more minutes. I'm done unless you guys have questions.
Questions for Ms. Krackemeyer. Mr. Lytle.
A couple of them. I just questioning on your target analysis, healthcare and social assistance. Why are those two grouped together? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Because honestly, that's probably a good question for the economist who did the report. And one thing I will note about this too is that's also showing up in there because this data was derived with removing Lancaster County out of it. Because we knew with Lancaster County in here, a lot of the things that you see in there wouldn't be in there because Lincoln itself provides an appropriate amount per capita of goods and services or those types of industries. So that's why we pulled it out, and there's just saying that there isn't enough to meet demand, mm-hmm. is what that means. But I don't know why those two are grouped together.
Okay.
In our area, though, I will say that's listed under the top 5 industries. So we have the hospital, which would be the healthcare. That's a major employer here. We also have an overabundance of social services in Beatrice, Gage County. The social services, and you can kind of see that as people come and ask us for money for some of these different groups. We have a plethora of social service organizations.
But that also takes into account like your dentist, your hospice care, your home instead, senior care, all of those types of things, your chiropractors, any type of health care provider. It's a pretty broad industry.
So social assistance, to me, that's not health care.
It's a component of your health and well-being.
Yeah, maybe.
Subject to interpretation.
Right. I guess maybe I just think of it differently, but I'm thinking of all the different social, like Eric's saying, all the social assistance opportunities that we have, and I prefer to see them separate.
Political way to say that.
Huh?
A political way to say
yeah.
that.
So, Rachel, the other question I was going to ask you, as you look at this first page and your top 5 by employment, fastest growing, and then declining, what does that say to you? I mean, as you look at those.
Say that again.
So as you look at the that middle column there, the top 5 industries by employment, the fastest growing 2019 to 2024, mm-hmm. and then the declining industries by employment. What is, as in your role, what does that say to you when you look at those numbers and what, you know, what's growing, what's declining?
So the simple answer is job creation. So the fastest growing industries by employment, those are the industry sectors that are adding the most jobs during that time frame, which makes sense because we need a lot of construction people. So there's been efforts laid out in that time frame to increase the number of skilled workers in those specific industries. The declining industries, a lot of that is attributed to the development of AI and changing of the types of sustainable products that we use. Because even when we talk about the bioeconomy, that's transitioning from petroleum-based products to sustainable-based products that are made from waste of a lot of different things.
You're putting in a bunch of housing or a lot of housing is going in. Do you have any idea where the prices will be, like on the East Side Housing in Beatrice, those new ones on the old drive-in, and also averages on the Kensington housing?
Averages, we haven't gotten the information for the ones on the East Side project. So for reference, that's over by the U Stop and the high school over there. My understanding is it's going to be pretty similar to market rate, which right now, if there's any, they didn't use any sort of state funding to buy down and keep that price point down. So purchase price could be anywhere between $275 and $350. That's considered market rate at this point. For the Kensington and the Paddock project, which everybody should go on Facebook. We just released a video yesterday on social media that shows kind of the interior progress of the construction and redevelopment of those apartments on the upper floors. So you'll be able to see some studded out walls and things like that happening in that building. Those are going to be market rate apartments. Basically, they're tied to rural workforce housing, but that just means that They're going to be an equivalent. I'll just suffice it to say they're going to be equivalent to what you'll see like in Heartland Flats. And they're going to be a combination of studio one and two bedroom apartments. So rents ranging anywhere from probably about $800 to about $1,200 a month.
Mr. Claybaugh.
I was looking through the website because I didn't know if Mr. Adams was going to be here, and I know he'd probably ask that question, so I won't ask that question, but when I was looking on the website, you have 2.5 employees now or 3 employees?
Engage is here. I have one full-time and one part-time.
Okay.
And then if you include myself, there's 2 full-time, 1 part-time.
Okay, that's what I meant. Yep. So that concerns me, the salaries, but this is approved by your board, though, right?
Correct. Yep.
That concerns me as much salary as you may have, but I'm assuming that the board has looked that over very carefully.
Well, and that's a discussion we can have too between the board and the city as we're going forward on some other things also. But yeah, everything set up through Engage would go through the Engage board. It's outside entity, quasi-governmental, but not directly managed by city or county.
And I was curious also about LV 840. How many dollars are in LV 840 right now?
It's an ever-changing thing. I want to say around $350,000, as long as everybody's paying their notes back.
And everybody is, aren't they?
As far as I know, the last report I saw, everyone was current. So.
So the kind of the buzzwords here a few years ago was the workforce housing, which appear to really be taking care of that in a big way, and then childcare, and we've taken care of not totally, but we've worked on that very hard. What else are we missing? Engage County to encourage even more economic development.
Well, really, it's community amenities and the skilled workforce. So as I'm talking to industry for recruitment projects, they focus on the people and what the people need. So they're saying their highest priority is wanting to site in a location that has good schools, good housing, and access to amenities so that their employees can have happy, healthy, and thriving families is essentially what it is. And so it's a component of what I do is I talk about the things that we have, and when we do site visits, that's really the next step to taking a potential investor to a commitment. And when I'm taking these folks around the community and showing the investment of a new fire station so we can show that we're providing emergency response and safety precautions for their investment, that's important. They see a brand new elementary school in the city of Beatrice. That to them says that we care about our youth's education and making sure that it's quality and accessible. And then housing development happening, that their workforce will have affordable, quality places to live.
Ms. Krakenmeyer, can I have you pause just for a second? We have a timed event. Is anyone in the audience to talk on the in support or opposition to the Board of Trustees for the Hospital Association, for the Hospital Authority? We're just gonna continue on right now to finish this up. I think I just wanted to make sure if someone was here and waiting, we gave them the opportunity. But
you have to do the public hearing at 9:45.
All right. I'm sorry, Ms. Krakenmeyer. We will pause you again.
I tried.
I would ask for a motion to go into public hearing and to hear support or opposition for the appointment of Ben Kidder, Robert Moran. Tammy Zabernicki for a 6-year term on the Board of Trustees of the Hospital Authority Number 1. Term would be commencing October 1st, 25, terminating September 30th, 2031. I'd ask for a motion to go into public hearing at 9:47.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Please vote. 7 in favor. We are in public hearing. No one would like to speak at this. As far as signed up, if anyone else would like to come up and speak.
And they have provided a names, and those were all
verified. Yeah. So petitions have been submitted. Any questions from the board? Question, comment on these three?
Put those into the record.
The petitions will be... Do we need a formal action to put those on the record, or
do that? Just again, even though this is a very important position, because they kind of are reviewing and making sure everything's done correctly on the bond issues, stuff like that. So,
do we need to make that motion outside of public hearing once we go back into regular session?
That's when you set it up. Yep.
Okay. We will we'll make a motion outside of public hearing to put these petitions into the record showing that they have been submitted and verified. Ben, Bob, and Tammy are all members of our community. I'm sure a lot of you know them already. Obviously, from the petitions, other people do. Questions from the public? Anything from the board? Press?
They're all good people.
All right.
Good people.
They are good folks. If there's nothing from the board or the public, I would ask for a motion to come out of public hearing at 9:49.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Claybaugh to come out of public hearing at 9:49. Please vote. 7 in favor. I'd ask for a motion to put the petitions and verification status into the record in correspondence with these three positions.
Roger, can we make that motion with the approval? It's all at the same time, or you want them separate?
I think unless somebody wants to pull it off separately, make your motion for all three and
With that, then I'd continue on to approve or disapprove the appointment of Ben Kidder.
Get a second and bring it in.
Robert Moran, Tammy Zabernicki, for a 6-year term on the Board of Trustees of Hospital Authority Number 1, term commencing October 1st, 25, terminating September 30th, 2031, and including the petitions and coinciding documentation.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any discussion on these three? It's nice to have good people that'll put time in on these different organizations and boards. Seeing none, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries.
Real briefly, just in case somebody in the public isn't aware, should Roger explain why Hospital Authority is a part of the Gage County?
Roger, you want to run through that?
Okay. Basically, in fact, I just received a document that was their annual report. And as you may recall, if you've been on this board very long, we do review when they go into bonded indebtedness for an addition to the hospital or whatever the project they're working on. We have to approve that as a body. And I say we. This board has to approve it on behalf of the citizens of Gage County. And we get an annual report basically letting us know that they're current under payment of the bonds and any other evidence, any other data that would be relevant to this board. And I would let you know I did receive a copy of that, and I think it officially goes to the board also.
Thank you, Roger. With that, we will go back to Ms. Krackemeyer.
Third time's a charm, right?
Good morning.
All right, we can get it done on this
one. I'm not so sure about that. No, really, this is a world market we're looking at, though. So can you touch on any of the other ways we're looking at advertising ourselves or plans you have for advertising worldwide?
I mean, we partner with a couple different site selection firms and have memberships to some others through some other partnerships that we have that basically take our sites and push them out to potential prospects, both nationally and internationally. And then it's conference and trade show season. So actually next month I'm flying out to San Francisco to go to an advanced bioeconomy leadership conference where there's going to be a lot of industry companies out there. It's a business recruitment trip, so we're going to be out there for 4 days talking with companies, building relationships, talking to some existing companies, those types of things, making sure that we're building that trust and rapport to give ourselves the best foot forward and hopefully securing an investment. So a couple of those, the different ones are happening. One happened earlier this month in Omaha, and then there's another one that we're going to be going to that's out on the East Coast as well. So in addition to that, you know, we're trying to maximize our resources and being strategic in what we invest in to create optimum exposure to those target industry companies that we're looking at. So,
and reemphasize, if you have land that you would like to sell that is potentially viable for economic development, please get a hold of Ms. Krackemeyer or her office. Mr. Claybaugh.
So that just brings up my last question and I'll ask it before Mr. Adams does, about the update on your website. Have you got that pretty much all updated now?
So we worked with our website company, and they were transitioning to a different, I forget what the industry term is, so we couldn't do any back-end fixes. We got some done before this switch happened. And I did look into the information that you had brought up, Rex. All of that data that you're seeing on the community pages is back-filtered in directly from census.gov. So that's stuff that just filters into our website so that they can see that factual data.
But yeah, we are going through and actively assessing. That's I have a staff dedicated to doing that to make sure that we're portraying or the public view of what we've got going on here is again top tier.
Anything else from the board? We will be having additional conversations about Engage with the city of Beatrice moving forward. I'll let you guys know as those things come up, but we would look probably within the next 30 to 45 days, I would anticipate. Can't wait till you come to us with some big announcement that we're going to double the value of the county.
Okay. I'll be excited for that, too.
Yes, no problem. Thank you very much. Thanks,
you bet.
Rachel.
Thanks, guys.
Move to place the Engage quarterly report on file.
Thank you, Mr. Lytle.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn to place the quarterly report on file for Engage. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Back to business. Approve or disapprove resolution for signing of the county annual certification of program compliance for 2025. Mr. Conkey, do you want to touch on anything on this? This is an administrative yearly
It's just step. Sending a certificate of compliance stating that we built our roads up to NBCS standards. That we have the right programs, we're doing inventories, we're getting our proper permits, plans, just following by the book.
And this will have to do with STP funds, road funds, bridge funds, all those things that we would get through the state. They keep our hands tied to make sure we're doing things the way they like them done.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens. Was there a second?
Second
by Lytle to approve annual certification program compliance for 2025. Juergens and Lytle. Resolution 25-06. If this passes, I will need a signature from each of you on this. Any discussion or questions? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. I will pass this down. There is one form that we need one from everyone on. I'll need a signature from you on this one, Mark, at some point in time.
I pull Terry and leave.
Oh, I'm sorry. Up next, approve or disapprove county annual certification of program compliance to the Nebraska Board of Public Road classifications and standards for 2025. These are our friends in Lincoln that help with bridge approvals, plan approvals, things like that. We went up and visited with them years ago to let them know what a great job they were doing, made up of highly skilled individuals.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Juergens, second by Lytle. Any discussion on this? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove resolution adopting the county budget for fiscal year 25-26.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle. Second by Dorn to approve resolution number 25-07, adopting the county budget for fiscal year 25-26. You have the budget forms in front of you. Let's see, you don't have the budget in front of you. You have the hearing and budget summary sheet probably in front of you still. You may or may not. Just to hit a couple highlights here, our evaluation went from $4.2 billion in 24 to 4.892 billion. So basically up 700 million from 24 to 25. The tax rate, the mill levy, we'll say, in 24 was 0.266656. That mill levy decreased by down to 0.234958. As we've talked about this, and it'll be brought up in our meetings as we talk about this leading up to the budget, we don't budget based on what we can tax. We budget based on what we need and then back into that mill levy. We always hope as valuations go up, mill levies come down and people operate within their means. Although you see the tax rate, the mill levy has decreased by 12%. The tax asking is going up by 2.47%. Our additional tax asking, the property tax request in 24, I should say, was $11.2 million, 11,217 and change. In 25, that tax asking has increased to 11.495. So you're looking at somewhere around roughly a $280,000 tax, property tax increase on an 11 plus million dollar budget or tax asking. The authority allowed us to ask for another $364,000, so we're well under half of our potential tax asking. There is a new cap and formula this year that sets up new rules for the first time on this levy request. There's a formula that everything goes into, and it includes valuation, growth, inflation. These are all compiled together, and then it tells us what our potential tax asking is. Any money that we don't take each year will not apply to our base the following year, but it will be cumulatively added together up to 5% of our total budget for potential issues in years to come. So we can go up to 5% of our operating budget. It's not in a bank. It's an unused property tax request authority that's available for next year. If money's taken out of that unused authority in years to come, that comes out. It doesn't go back to zero. So there is some potential, if we have an emergency, that we have their potential tax asking that we could call upon without having to actually take it each year. So leaving that is not a bad thing. It's just not in the hands of the treasurer at that time. It stays out there in the people's hand. We could call upon that if needed in the future. We've also added, for additional safety, we don't have a rainy day fund or a safety fund. We never have. We've kind of used the inheritance tax for that at times. Right now we're using the inheritance tax to borrow the money in that account to borrow against for grants or other expenditures instead of taking a bond or a loan. So money can potentially go back and forth in and out of that account without borrowing it. We do collect interest on that. There is a line item put into the budget for a potential safety fund where if there is money at the end of the year, we can potentially keep some of that with the decision of the board or finance committee. A sinking fund that we could potentially fill. Are there questions from the board on the budget that we have proposed in front of us?
More just a clarification. Like, we can move forward with this now because we came in under that pink postcard. We don't have to host the pink postcard because we came in under that. We are not responsible for any other levy set. We are only responsible for the ones we have.
That's a really good point, and there's misinformation out there because The county acts basically as an administrator for the state. We know that, but the public doesn't always know that. So for public information, money comes in for your property tax to the county. The county handles it and allocates it out as it comes in to each of the different taxing bodies. City of Beatrice, Wymore Southern, Beatrice Public Schools, Gage County Ag Society, all those historical society, each of those places, the rural fires, NRD. So if you look on your tax slip, it'll show you right where the money's coming or going. Even though it comes into the courthouse, it doesn't mean that we're keeping that. We can only control our own budget. And I'll say I'm proud of you guys. This is guys and ladies. We've consistently kept our budget very, very lean. We've done more with less year after year. 2.47% increase is below the inflation rate. We're operating and doing more projects, putting more material on roads, continuing to operate all our necessary commitments within the courthouse, and we're doing that with a lower increase than the dollars dropping, basically. So we're doing that through good management and responsible taxation. We hope that every other body does that, but we have no control over any other agency other than those that we potentially give authority to. So we can't take the gloves off completely. We do allow taxing authority to the townships, Ag Society, Historical Society, groups like that that we allow taxing authority to go to. We can pull that back, but as long as we continue to operate at a low rate,
your NRDs.
We don't control their budget still.
Yeah, like your NRD, schools, fire, city, villages. We don't have any control over what levy they set.
Documentation comes in to us, comes back out, but we're a pass-through on those. We have no control over. We can encourage them and say, hey, we think you ought to keep your tax rates down, which every citizen should do, and we try, but they don't have to listen to us any more than they do anyone else that walks in.
I think that's probably part of the hard part about the misinformation. They come here to pay all their taxes, so it's assumed that all of their taxes that they pay is our fault. And that's just...
And we brought this up during the budget hearing, and also as we talked about budgets, there are a couple petitions I heard that would be going around this year. I don't know if that's true or not. I just heard it on the radio. There's a potential petition to limit valuation increases to a certain percentage each year. There's another petition that may be going around that would cap cities and schools. I talked to Senator Dorn. There's a lot of discourse between counties over this new system that will limit county spending. I told Senator Dorn, I'm not opposed to that at all. I mean, there's nothing wrong with capping things and living within our means. I think we can live within our means and under our potential. I mean, there's always going to be hiccups, but there's nothing wrong with slowing government spending and growth. Questions or comments? I know you guys are really excited about this budget. I can see it on all of your faces. We actually have a motion by Lytle and a second by Dorn to approve Resolution 2507, adopting the county budget for fiscal year 25-26. Last chance for this year. I would ask you to vote. 7 in favor. 2507 passes unanimously. Up next, approve or disapprove Resolution 25-08, setting the 25-26 tax request at a different rate than the 24-25 tax request.
Move to approve.
Aye.
Motion by Lytle. Second by Juergens. This seems redundant, but it's a step we have to take as we pass budgets. There's actually a line item I'll need their signatures also on this one. There's actually a line item still that says tax rate if prior tax request was at current valuation. It really doesn't make any difference because valuations don't stay the same. I've always thought some of these lines are pointless, but as in a lot of government jobs, if we have time, we make up things so that we keep people busy, I think. This one would just say that we're going to set our tax rate at a different dollar amount than the previous year. Motion by Lytle, second by Juergens to pass Resolution 25-08. Any questions? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. I will need your signatures on this also. Please sign on the correct side. One side is for yes, one side is for no. Up next, discussion on EMS agreements. This was discussed on Monday. We've brought it up multiple times. Should anything be changed on the EMS funding agreements, how we distribute out dollars to the different rescue units? I guess I will give this to Ms. Haxby to begin.
This is something that I've asked about every year since I've been on the board, and I've asked how we came up with those dollar amounts, and the response has always been, well, we've done it that way for 20 years, but there was no real reason as to why the allocations were the way they were. And so I've gone back and forth. I've thought about how, like, you know, do we do it based on call volume or responsive calls? But that gets tricky because then it's something that has to be revisited every year, and we've been trying to do this for 4 or 5 years now, so that would probably be difficult. My other thought was that, you know, every area has their emergency response area for each rescue. One ambulance is not better than another ambulance. Each one is equally important as the other. Everybody expects an ambulance to make a call when they have a 911 issue, whether that be here or in the South half or wherever it may be. And one ambulance is not more special than another. And so my thought was that if we equally distribute those funds, because just because an ambulance responds to less calls does not mean that ambulance costs less. It all still is very costly up front. And those are, I have a lot to learn with the fire and rescue, but I know they're separate entities. You have a taxing entity for the fire department, but not for the rescue. So then those funds are a lot more difficult to come by for purchasing an ambulance. So my thought was is that if we took the EMS, and instead of having all different numbers for our emergency response, would be to just say one flat number for every rescue that has a ambulance, and then those that have a rescue response team would get another amount. There are different people that ride in ambulances, so you have like ALS response, which is a paramedic response, and the way like that works is when they're called, when an ALS is needed and responds, there's a flat fee that is involved with the people coming when they call. Because most of these rural rescues do not have a paramedic. But my thought would be to work within the dollar amount that we're currently allocating, but equally distribute it. So the way I just try to throw numbers in there would be to just all the emergency services that have an ambulance do 60,000, and then those that have a rescue service that does not have an ambulance would have 10,000. It'd be equally distributed. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out a way to give reason to the numbers. Right now we don't have any, and costs are only ever increasing, and I think everybody can agree that an ambulance service is a necessary one. So,
Law Enforcement Emergency Management Committee seems to have extra stuff to do sometimes here, the different times of the year. Would you be opposed to the Law Enforcement Committee, Law Enforcement Emergency Management Committee, addressing this more?
We've talked about that a few times now. We can try again.
Or do you want to keep that as a committee as a whole, going over this?
I mean, we can try again. Maybe beneficial to meet with everybody and try to come up with a solution, but I'd like to come up with something soon, and we've been saying it for a few years now, but the rhyme or reason to the numbers that we allocate right now is there's no reason. They're different.
And I always point out there's nothing requiring us to give any money out on any of the
right.
EMS. And I'll look to Rex for historical data, but I believe this was a deal made years ago when the county gave up ambulance service and the city took it over. The county, or was it before? Well, it wouldn't have been before that. Oh, it didn't happen at the time. It happened later on.
No, because ambulance service
went
way before that.
Oh.
But when I was, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago when I first started looking at this, when I looked at the calls for service versus money allocated, it was very off. There was one entity that responded to 78 calls was receiving $40,000, while another entity that responded to 92 calls only received $17,000. So, you had more calls done by one entity receiving less than half of what another was. And so trying to distribute it equally and with numbers changing all the time, I thought it would be easiest to just have a number straight across. If you have an ambulance service, rescue service, this is the value you receive.
Sure, it's the same today, but years ago it was, I may live here, you may live there, but we go from one end of the county to the next end of the county. We cross through, we want to always make sure there's somebody coming to get us. And that's where that came from, is that you always wanted to make sure help was coming. So does time dictate change? Looking at it, it probably does. The world's changed. Districts have changed. So, it's always fair to relook at everything.
Mr. Lytle has brought up potentially having Law Enforcement Emergency Management Committee looking at this. I'll tell you what each organization's going to say is we need more money. And if you give us some more, we still need more. That's the nature of the game generally. In this situation, some of the rurals would actually get more. The one that would get the biggest change would be City of Beatrice, which is a paid force, versus all the other rurals are volunteer forces.
I also did ask what Lancaster does, because Lancaster does the same thing. Their Lincoln Rescue responds to all of the rurals if ALS is requested. So that's the limiting factor.
Mm-hmm.
There is no money coming from the county to the Lincoln Rescue for that. They just charge a flat fee contract to respond if ALS is requested.
I was talking to Wymore Rescue, and they said if they respond and ALS is required, they charge Wymore $275 to put that medic on Wymore. So I assume they use Wymore's equipment and they just provide a medic to go on that call?
What I understand is that if Wymore responds and ALS is requested, Wymore may likely get there earlier because they're closer when they respond because they're within that rescue district or area. But then, so the patient would be billed by Wymore, but then Wymore is charged a flat fee for ALS response.
This one we are in the middle of September. Through the powers that be, we can't approve our budget until about now, September. Our budget starts July 1. Of course, we know this is more for public information. We run for a quarter without a budget. Makes no sense. Budget should be done a quarter before the next one, not the quarter after. But state law, this is what we have to do. We have to play by the rules. We need to get our valuations in, everything like that, so that we actually know what our budget is. That being said, all these different organizations also are submitting and requesting funding as well. I would strongly suggest we have something ready. If we're going to make a change, at least 6 months ahead of there. Even spring, you know, winter, spring, to where each of the organizations knows if there's going to be a change, what the change is going to be. I think you've made a good point several times. There's no rhyme or reason to some of these funding mechanisms. They are what they are because that's what they've been.
Supervisor Bauman worked on this project several years before it came to this board. I think Rex, you might be the only one that was on that board at that time. There's a lot of arm wrestling that went into
it. It was nasty.
We'd hired an outside consultant to come in and look at that. So,
the state ended up paying for the outside consultant, correct?
Well,
a majority of it.
He actually was a state employee, too.
Yeah.
But his expertise, I'm going to question that, because a lot of this stuff comes down to what's needed, what's required, and the bottom line is you want service to the public, and that cost of service has gone up tremendously since Matt was on this board. I mean, you look at these ambulances, what they have to have in there, it's truly unbelievable. And again, as Chairman Demon says, somebody's got to pay for that, or you're going to do less services. And that's what everybody on the table says. You want the service, we're going to have to pay for it. And when you're in need, somebody's having a heart attack or whatever, you don't care what the cost of that is to get the loved one to Beatrice at the hospital. So, again, I agree with you. You're going to have to spend some time on this, but you got to talk to each one of those representatives from those ambulance places. A lot of them are volunteers. We can't forget that. So they're dropping what they're doing at their regular job, trying to help out their fellow citizens. And it's a tough call.
What I was trying to do, at least with this, with that numbers that I threw out just as an option, like a concept, is that we actually worked within the numbers that we already have budgeted. So we weren't increasing or anything like that. But I was trying to equalize it. Now, should it be a part of the discussion moving forward that, what does it cost to be running this EMS service? Yes, it probably should be. But I think the fair to be fair, it should be. When you have an ambulance show up, it's no different than any other ambulance. It should be equally spread out.
I know Rachel gets tired of me hammering on this, and a lot of people probably do, but this is points out the importance of economic development in every rural community. When I was a kid, fire departments, Roger talks about volunteers. There was a lot of people that worked in town. There was jobs in town. Those people were proud to let their employee off to go take care of that. There's no jobs anymore. Those volunteers don't work in the small communities no more. We can reverse that trend of some of the jobs where these people are local. You're going to have to rely on Beatrice to roll in. You're going to have to rely on somebody else because the people are not there during the day. They're working somewhere else.
What I was going to say, and I think what Rex just said plays into that a little bit. I think we need to have all the players in the room at the same time so we can discuss all of this, but I think that's an important thing that you got to remember is that you have a professional group, with Beatrice that comes out and they're relied upon. It's not always what you want exactly, because you do want that local to show up and be there like that. but I think it is something we need to look at, because we definitely want to have the local entity there and available when they can be there. But we also got to have that other group that's going to be there no matter what, day and night.
You'll never hear anyone complain about the siren coming from the north, because that means somebody's coming, that the next level of skill is needed, and those people can save a life until that next layer gets there.
Well, and they're in that, not taking away from that either, like the responding person, the person that picked the way I understand it, the responding person that picks them up, or is it the person that bills the patient? On top of that, if ALS is called, so if Beatrice does respond because that next level of care is needed, they're then compensated above that too. So it's not that they're not being compensated. The city of Lincoln, on average, responds to about 110 calls rurally. And like I said, they're compensated per call, but they don't receive the extra. So that's why I'm saying, like, when we're looking at these funds, I think we equally distribute them, because an ambulance is an ambulance when it shows up.
Does Lancaster fund the other rurals?
I was working on digging into that. I started a couple days ago.
I'd be curious to see on that also. Like I say, we are, and I'm not saying we shouldn't fund these, because, I mean, if I start having a heart attack, I'm a heart attack waiting to happen. I want somebody coming the second someone calls 911. I do want you to keep in mind, anything we do here, though, we're subsidizing these other organizations. I think it's very justified, but how do you distribute it? How do you decide who gets what? What are other people doing? I think these are all good things to look at.
It comes back to a quality of life. If you want a quality of life in your county, this is one of them. Law enforcement, emergency response, or, you know, those are the top of the list normally of what people are looking for. And there is a cost associated with it.
When you look at tax dollars too, and when you're using tax dollars, it's, does everybody use it? I could probably say everybody. If they need it, they want to use it. This is one of those services.
How does that work with insurance and stuff then? So they're already funded, they're paid for. Do they bill insurance companies for additional? Do they bill on top of what they already operate on? Is that part of their budget?
They try to, I think.
The way that I understand is they send a bill, and then they only end up billing what insurance covers. So it doesn't, at least for the rurals, I'm pretty positive that's not the way it operates in the city of Beatrice.
Do you know on this, Rick? It's a little closer to your industry.
The city writes off a tremendous amount that they can't collect.
I think they all do.
I think that there's a certain billing that they put in, and then whether it's Medicare or it's depending on the level of insurance that's provided to cover that is what they get paid. So
they do try to collect above insurance. If they don't, I know they probably do end up writing some off.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm sure they all do. I would assume.
At least the rural, from what I've talked to a couple of them, they don't charge over what insurance.
I'd be curious on that, too, as you're talking to Beatrice. Do they charge outside of that insurance on people? Or is everyone on the same page? It'd be kind of nice to everyone on the same.
We need the data to understand all this. I mean, we got to have all of it here in front of us.
I think a lot of this stuff would be hashed out best in a room full of people that do it every day.
Yep, agreed. I think that's important that we have that. That's, it's been a lot of years ago, when I was on the city council. I remember we had discussion about how this billing was handled, and, the reason that we did the things we did, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but we went to doing the billing a certain way to make sure that they were getting the adequate dollars for doing the services they were doing, where at that time I don't think we were billing it properly, so we weren't always getting the payments that we should have been receiving on the city end. And that, we figured, we changed that at that time. That kind of fixed that. Like I said, that's been a lot of years ago.
I remember we were getting as much as we could, but you have just the reimbursable amount, and you're not going to get anything above that. So
yeah, I don't think we were when I was on. We made that adjustment.
It'd just be nice if it was very uniform, so that if you can get a few more dollars out of one person but not the other one, we aren't taking those last few dollars from the person you can pull it out of. It'd be nice to be on an even playing field with everyone. I would suggest as you're talking to them, not so much providers, but the decision makers that are working the books and seeing how these items actually work as you're discussing. Although the providers can have heartfelt information, as far as how things are billed, things like that, that'll be your folks that are actually running the books, not the folks providing service. Anything else on EMS discussion? Terry?
I'm cool.
All right. That brings us to the end of the agenda. Is there anything else you guys would like to visit about? I do have Mike here. I'd like to go into closed session for some discussion since he's here on contract negotiation.
Client privilege first.
Oh, we can do that.
It's your turn. Go ahead and go.
Prior to going into closed session, we will take a 5-minute recess at 10:30.
We got to get another button.
Are you ready?
The keeper of the
we will reconvene at 10:38, the Board of Supervisors meeting. I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session at 10:38, necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual for contract negotiations.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Claybaugh. Second by Adams. Going to closed session at 10:38 for negotiations. Please vote.
High tech.
6 in favor, with Ms. Haxby not being in the room.
She's coming back.
Motion carries. We're in closed session. We'll come out of closed session. I'd ask for a motion to come out of closed session at 11:18. Moved by Dorn.
Thanks, Terry.
Second by Lytle. Come out of closed session at 11:18. Please vote.
So that is our
7 in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order?
Just an announcement that Don Hill is our new vice president of the Southeast District, NACO.
Woo!
Yeah, the only one that voted nay.
Yes. Where's the donuts?
And with that, we will adjourn at 11:19.
And now you get to do more stuff.